A week from today. Do you know what a week from today marks?
No.
Tuesday, March 8th?
No.
Tonight's top story, the Malaysian airliner is still missing.
I thought they, didn't they find pieces of that?
Well, they found pieces of it, I think. And,
On an island or something?
I think they did find some debris that they confirmed was from the plane, but they still haven't found the plane. But, I mean, that would be reasonably sure that it went down in the ocean. But if you remember when that went down, it became the joke. And I don't believe that CNN has taken down the breaking news logo since then. I mean, they've switched the news. It's up there right now, right? It says breaking news on the thing.
Yeah.
It is forever. They have ruined the term breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not breaking news. It's the same news over and over and over again, and you just switch stories. But one of the people at the heart of that discussion was a gentleman with a great accent, by the way, and that's probably how you recognize him, by the name of Richard Quest, who is a aviation correspondent for CNN. And they had him on hourly, I think, for probably 6 months, something like that. And, you know, a lot of people were commenting on CNN's coverage and also mystified by how, in this day and age, a jet airliner can literally vanish. I don't think we know much of anything about what happened yet, 2 years after. Still haven't found the plane 2 years after, although I believe, as Chet indicated, we have confirmed some debris that's washed up. But let's catch up on that event. Joining us now on the phone is CNN's aviation correspondent, Richard Quest. Good morning.
Good morning to you. You're absolutely right. One small piece of the wing that washed up on the other side, thousands of miles away from where the plane's believed to have crashed, on the other side of the Indian Ocean. And that, gentlemen, is it. That's all we have.
Was this piece, by the way, Richard, big enough to, without a doubt, say, oh, the plane must have went down, or could this have fallen off midair and the plane still made it somewhere?
Oh, no. If the flapper on fell off, you'd know about it.
Okay.
This piece, the general accepted view is, firstly, it came from the plane, and secondly, it detached from the plane when the plane went into the ocean. But, you know, there are the conspiracy theorists, and they are always out there. The conspiracy theorists believe that it could be a red herring, it could have been planted by, I mean, just pick any government, from the Malaysians, the Americans, the Chinese. The conspiracy theorists believe this is just part of the greater cover-up about what happened to MH370.
Well, you, Richard, became a household name after that flight disappeared 2 years ago. CNN, originally, everybody was watching CNN to find out when they would find it, because I think there was a great anticipation that, well, it'll take a couple of days and they'll solve the mystery. And as this wore on, people, myself included, became somewhat critical of CNN's wall-to-wall, I don't know, nearly two-month coverage before other stuff finally came in there. You've written a book that kind of details how this whole thing unfolded, including some of those things.
I think you're being very polite when you talk about the criticism. I think if you look at what the critics said at the time, they absolutely rounded upon us. Even our former Larry King described our coverage as absurd. Eric Wemple in the Washington Post described it as very unsatisfying. BuzzFeed's Dorsey Short thought it was insane. And I put all of this to my boss, and I said, Jeff Zucker, did we do too much on it? And he said, no. He said, first of all, it's part of our new strategy of going there, being bigger, being deeper, giving more coverage. But more importantly, everybody flies at some point. And here we have, and we still have, a missing plane. And there are 1,200 of these planes still flying around the world. So next time you get on a 777-200 or a 300, just look and think, what did happen on board MH370?
Well, I guess, is it safe to say we may never know at this point, or is there still a thought that somewhere this plane can be recovered?
I won't go there. I just won't go there. People ask me every. It's the one question I get asked more often. Will they find the plane? Where is the plane? I believe they have to find it. The problem will become, once they finish this latest search area, if they don't get any better data, and if they don't refine the data, if there are no new techniques, then they can't just keep expanding the rough region. It's simply too big. We're talking about the ocean bed in one of the deepest parts, 13, 14,000 feet of water, with volcanoes and mountain ranges and deep crevices and canyons. You'd be hard-pushed to find anywhere worse to do this search. So I think that, you know, come middle of this year, when the search does come to its temporary halt, because they've searched the most likely area, and that's what they're doing at the moment. It's the most likely area. If they don't find it, then they're going to need to rethink the whole strategy, and that might take quite a long time.
Now, when the coverage was ongoing, there was talk about the debris possibly washing up, and that they would be able to kind of backwards engineer based on currents where this debris might have come from to kind of give them a better location of where the plane might have gone down. Were they able to do that with this one piece that they identified from the plane?
No, absolutely not. Firstly, because it was years or months, 18 months after it went missing. So, yeah, they could reverse drift it to the rough area. What they'd hoped was that they were going to find debris on the surface, things like seats, seat back cushions, luggage. There's lots of, even parts of the wing, there's lots of parts of the aircraft that would float. But they found nothing. And indeed, that's one of the great complexities and conundrums. If they'd found something, they could have worked it back to a better area than they've got. At the moment, the only thing they've got are these seven handshakes from the plane to the satellite. They've given a rough location of where the satellite and the plane spoke to each other. But that's it. It was a novel way of finding the plane. Look, do me a favor. Take a grain of salt, one grain of salt, and now go to your neighbor's yard three streets away and throw it in there, and now try and find it. That's what they're aiming to do at the moment.
Well, a huge challenge, to say the least. It was a incident, still is an incident. When we bring it back up, I'm sure, in talking today, people are probably thinking all about all of the stories and theories that came up. Certainly a book's worth, and you've kind of done that, putting it into a book.
Right. I've looked at all the theories. The crackpot theories, the plane was taken over by the American government, flown to Diego Garcia to get top secret technology off it. I've looked at the idea of pilot suicide. I don't think it was pilot suicide. I don't think it fits the profile. When pilots commit suicide on commercial planes, like we saw with German Wings, Andreas Lubitz, they do it immediately. They don't sort of waste time disconnecting this, that, and the other and flying off in for 7 hours. No, I do believe it was some form of mechanical on the aircraft. I know that's not the popular view. The more popular view is that it was the pilot, preferably the captain, that actually committed suicide and mass murder, either because his wife was about to leave him, which is not true, or because he was upset at the politics in Malaysia, which he may have been. But you know something? For my book, you need a lot more than a few rumors and a bit of gossip before you're going to convict somebody of mass murder.
Well, I think that's probably a good point to have. That's all we do have right now is speculation and theories that remain to be proven.
There is nothing. And, you know, even just talking to you guys, even just talking now and saying this, I still have to pinch myself that in 2016, when I can find my iPhone at the drop of a hat, when I can, you know, travel the world so easily, how did we lose an aircraft with 239 people on board that had some of the most advanced avionics known to man? It is still, it wouldn't happen today in quite the same way. There were new safeguards, but the very fact that this was able to happen was the reason I wrote the book.
Well, and probably the reason that one of the reasons anyway that CNN stayed with it as long as they did, it right. is fascinating, as you say, that was able to happen.
What do you think? The pilot do it? Mechanical hijacking? The government? What do you think?
I'm a huge fan, Richard, of the movie Contact, and the theory that Jodie Foster raises there. I forget what they call it, where she basically says, generally the simplest explanation tends to be the correct one, and that to me would lead me to mechanical failures on the plane. But that's as much speculation as anything.
But the pilot theory is the really worrying ones are the conspiracy theorists, because I went to Malaysia and I've been around the world researching the book, and there's no shortage of people that want to believe that one government or the other is behind this in some shape or form. I can't say I've ever found any evidence, but then there are people who still believe the awfulness of some of the theories of 9/11.
Yeah, absolutely. Richard, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. The book is The Vanishing of Flight MH370, The True Story of the Hunt for the Missing Malaysia Plane. It comes out on the second anniversary, March 8th. I'm assuming available across all the standard channels now, Amazon and
all the
bookstores.
Standard channels, absolutely.
All right, Richard, we'll look for the book and wish you much success. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
I very much appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Richard Quest from CNN on WCLO.